praying with kids. Hallelujah. Amen. Psalms 80:80. Psalms 80. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who dwell between the cherubim, shine forth. Before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh, stir up your strength and come and save us. Restore us, O God. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry against the prayer of your people? You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in great measure. You have made us a strife to our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. You have brought a vine out of Egypt. You have cast out the nations and planted it. You prepared room for it and caused it to take deep root and fill the land. The hills were covered with its shadow, and the mighty cedars with its boughs. She sent out her boughs to the sea and her branches to the river. Why have you broken down her hedges, so that all who pass by the way pluck her fruit? The boar out of the woods uproots it, and the wild beast of the field devours it. Return, we beseech you, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and see, and visit this vine, and the vineyard which your right hand has planted, and the branch that you made strong for yourself. It's burned with fire, it is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of your countenance. Let your hand be upon the man of your right hand, upon the son of man whom you made strong for yourself. Then we will not turn back from you. Revive us, and we will call upon your name. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a wonderful psalm. So you'll find three times in that word, this verse, restore us, O God. Verse 3, verse 7, and verse 19. The first time it says, restore us, O God, cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. Amen. In the seventh verse it says, restore us, O God of hosts, cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. The 19th verse, restore us, O Lord God of hosts, cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. Amen. Hallelujah. It is amazing. Amen. What's the purpose of us fasting? It's just not, you know, to recognize the area that we are under bondage, but it is to see the hand of God come upon our lives and to see us restored back to the fullness that God wants us to have. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed should be the name of the Lord. And this is a restoration psalm. We'll be having 7 days and fasting about the second night. And I believe each night God will give us a word, and that word will be a blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, when you look at the Psalms, 50 of the Psalms are written by David, 150 Psalms. Actually, 50 of them are anonymous. 73 of them are written by David, 12 of them by the man who wrote this. What's his name? Asaph. 10 by the sons of Korah, 2 by Solomon, 1 by Moses, and then 1 each by 2 other people. The names are quite hard to pronounce. Hallelujah. Amen. And this man, when he is writing the psalm, he is writing from a personal experience of having ministered before the Ark of the Covenant for 40 years. This man, A.S.P.H., has ministered before the Ark of the Covenant for 40 years. And he is writing the psalm. And that psalm, the essential part of that psalm is restoration. Amen. Some of you would love to see some restoration in your life, wouldn't you? Amen. Then take the word by faith tonight. Amen. Open your hearts. It is, you know, so important that during a couple of the days when we are fasting and praying, sometimes the first day you have surrendered the best way you know how. You have confessed your sin and you have consecrated and you feel good fasting. And then everything comes from the head. More than the righteousness of God, what comes is the self-righteousness. And there begins to be an element of pride within us, which actually restricts us from receiving grace from God. Are you with me? So I suppose the first day, everyone will be kind of low and depressed and wouldn't know what to do, and you can't depend on the Lord and the hand of God reaches out to you. Then you have had a whole day to pray and to sit in the presence of the Lord. And as the days go by, one thing that you should watch out for is that you don't become self-righteous and proud. The reason for the fasting in the first place, in Psalm 69, David said, I humble my soul through fasting. So the minute pride comes in, you have lost the real reason why you're fasting. That's the days in which you feel kind of strong because you are kept yourself away from every known and willful sin. Are you with me? And you have just shut your life to just seek the face of God. And you feel good and peaceful. Now most people do not, they just want to rush there. And they don't have the desire, nor the willingness to take a step forward and say, Lord, I hunger more for you. I still seek your face. I still want to persevere and look to you, O God, and allow you to change me and correct me and bless me. I seek your face. And that too from the heart. Amen. So tonight is so important that you offer your heart and say, Lord, my heart is tuned to you, not my mind. My mind, I thank you for it. But I want to receive the word into my heart, into my spirit. You will find that if you have received the word in your spirit, you will find even years later, when that word is needed, you will find the Holy Spirit of God putting that word to remembrance. Are you with me? You'll think you've forgotten it. But if the word has actually come into your spirit, even though you have not taken down any notes, you will find when you really need that word, the Spirit of God reminding you of that word. Are you with me? Amen. And that is why it is so important that you receive the word with faith, receive it with humility, and more than anything else, receive it by looking to the face of God. Amen. And you keep it by faith, and you worship the Lord, and thank Him for that word, so that word can bring forth fruitfulness out of you. Amen. Now, this will just be a message and a lot of information if you're going to listen with your mind. Do you hear that? And that wouldn't profit you at all. Hallelujah. But what we need is our hearts. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And it so happens that when we are fasting and praying, that on the first day you fast, you pray, and you know, we are people who want to function more in the level of our physical body. So what happens is we look for experiences, things that we can see, things that we can touch. And so you want to jump, you want to scream, you want to run, and you where is the excitement? Where is it? Why? Because you have mistaken real faith for all that. Are you with me? Amen. And looking for where is the excitement? Something more.
But you're wanting to see a manifestation in your flesh and actually not in your spirit, not in your heart. And we don't want that, do we? Amen. Hallelujah. So lift your hand and say, Holy Spirit, help me. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Amen. Now, why do we need restoration? Why did I take this psalm actually tonight? You know, this morning I was listening to a Puritan preacher. And he had some amazing things, you know. He's a writer, actually, a Puritan writer. And he speaks about backsliding. And he gives about 20 ways that you can identify whether you are a backslider or not in the church. And I was just listening to it. And suddenly what amazed me was these guys, they knew. I mean, it was such an awakening for me. And I said, Lord, my God, it looks like the whole congregation, including my life, is backslidden. I mean, these guys, if there is any element of pride inside of you, that becomes broken right there when you listen to a message like that. I mean, he was not preaching it dramatic. He was just saying those points out. I mean, there was no fire. You understand what I'm saying? There was no charisma. I mean, he was just saying out the points. But the anointing of God was just, boom, coming right through and smashing you right there and saying, get on your knees. Some of us haven't done that in years. And that's why every time we try to get on our knees, our knees begin to make noise. See, actually, when a person kneels down, you know whether that person is doing it habitually or just doing it once in a while. Sometimes a pastor can just look at a congregation and say, please kneel down. And you know, some of them, when they kneel down, you know, he hasn't done that in ages. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I remember in the beginning, a time of my spiritual walk with Jesus, I used to read my Bible on my knees. I was reading my Bible on my knees. I wouldn't sit down and read. Then I had a problem with my knees and the doctor said, do kneel down. So I had to stand up and read and walk and read and all that. But I would make sure that I would kneel down and read. And I would find every time I used to do that, after a prayer, asking the Holy Spirit to help me, I would find that the word would burn in my heart. And it's still there. It's still there. Now, if you don't have that kind of burning inside your heart, chances are that you lost your spiritual fervor. I'm not saying you lost your salvation, but you lost your spiritual intensity of love for Jesus. Are you with me tonight? Amen. And that's what happens to most people when they just listen with their mind, with their head. They just want to take down notes, listen to talks. And just, that's all. But we're going to offer our hearts and say, Lord, speak to my heart. Write your word in my heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Are you still here, church? Yeah. I'm just giving you a couple of points before I get into that psalm. And it is a really beautiful, fantastic message, which if the Holy Spirit will break the word for us, it is fantastic. Otherwise, it's just information. Amen. Lift your hand and say, Holy Spirit, help me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm just, you know, look at these 20 signs and see whether you need restoration. I'm not speaking about restoration in your finances, although God does that for us. Restoration in our health, God does that for us. The main restoration, actually, the essence of the fasting and prayer is restoration whereby you enjoy the presence of God, where you have victory. Amen. How many of you genuinely have walked with the Lord in victory? A couple of hands. How many of you genuinely walked in victory at one time and then lost it? How many of you regained it? And then lost it again. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, there is restoration again for us. Amen. But we are looking at the restoration of a walk with God. Are you with me? Amen. Hallelujah. And, you know, when you look at the word of the Lord, it says in Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. Just open the word to that. Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? Amen. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? We're looking for spiritual restoration in our walk with God. Can two walk together unless they have agreed? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I've read that through that many a time. But it's amazing. Can two walk together unless they have agreed? It is said that walking is the best exercise. If you're looking for one exercise, walking is the best exercise. That's what Adam and Eve had in the garden. They didn't have a gymnasium to go and work out or an aerobics class. They didn't have anything like that. What they had was walking. They used to walk with God. Amen. They used to walk with God. That is the best exercise. Your spirit man becomes tuned up and you know you are a real believer by the walk that you have, not by the talk that you have. Are you with me? Amen. And that's why many of us have lost out on the walk and have the talk now. So we're going to pray and ask God to give us a restoration where we can have the walk again. That's why even yesterday evening we had the word of the Lord telling us, just not be deceived by being hearer of the word, but be doer of the word. That means walk in the word. Amen. Hallelujah. By being a doer of the word, walking with God. Amen. Adam and Eve didn't have any dumbbells to lift up every day. They walked. Amen. And how can two people walk together if they have not agreed? If I'm saying, listen, Jay, let's go for a walk. There has to be three things that have been very clear. One, where are we going to start a walk from? If I tell him, generally, let's go for a walk, you start from BDH, you wait there and start walking, and I walk from the stadium there, we're not walking together, but we are walking. Are you with me? If you look at your spiritual life, the reason that you need restoration is, you might be walking, but you're not walking together with Jesus. The Lord is starting from somewhere else, and you are from somewhere else. So there has to be a common starting point. You hear that? And if you're going to walk together, there has to be a common destination. It's not that we start together. And if you're not very clear about where you're walking to, there is another problem. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Amen. And not only do we agree on where we're going to go together, but if we have to walk together, we have to be very sure of each other's conversation also. If you're walking together, he's supporting Karnagar and I'm supporting Anthony, we might talk pleasant for a few minutes, then after some time, there's a problem. Are you with me? Have you seen that? People walking with Jesus, having a problem? Because they're not agreed upon. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Not only do you have a common starting point, a common ending point, but you know there's a common language they're going to speak. The same subject, the same topic. Otherwise, what happens to most people is this. When they walk together, you've seen walking with strangers. You might have met many people whom you have walked with them for a mile or two. That's all. And you have general topics. See, general things like that. Just superficial things. See, what happens to most people is that their Christianity has become like that. Just superficial. Just praise the Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah, okay. That's all. that lost that heart in it. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so if you've got a mouth that's going to speak, your heart has to be tuned up with that other person. You're going to walk together and say, we're going to agree on what we're going to speak. Our hearts are going to be joined together here. We have a common starting point, a common destination. We're going to have the right kind of conversation. Church, please help me with this tonight. Have you lost that? I'm not saying you're not walking, but are you walking with Jesus? Do we need restoration? We do. Amen. Hallelujah. Ephesians has got a lot of things to speak about. You know, Ephesians speaks about walk. Walk in love, walk in faith, walk in the light, walk in obedience. A lot of things. But just write down these points and see whether you're walking with God. And then we come to the restoration part after that. How to get or move into our restoration. You know that you have lost out on that walk with God when you give into the temptation that you face in your life very easily without having any kind of strength inside of you to resist it. Are you falling all the time? It means there needs to be a spiritual restoration. See, you know you have lost out on a walk with God genuinely when you are only conscious of open sins in your life. The sins which grab the attention of others. And what determines their opinion about you. You're only concerned about that. Not about the secret part of your life, the heart. When you're only concerned about it, that's what the Pharisees had. They were religious. Outside, they were very spiritual. Matthew 6 says they were very spiritual. They would pray loud. They would fast. They would go through all that show piety, help poor people, whatever they would do. But the Lord looked at them and said, you are inside full of dead men's bones. Why? Because they were only conscious of what would impress others. Are you with me? Let me tell you, you can get away with that for a long time, but not forever. See, you know you are not walking with Jesus heart to heart, hand in hand, when you're only conscious about what others think, or public or open sins. And that's why it is so easy that you can come into a church and walk inside a church or come into a meeting and nobody will know that what you are inside. You can sing, you can do things with your hand, but I don't want anybody to know what my secret life is, what my heart is really like. And that's where God looks into. Are you with me? That's where he wants to restore. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Proverbs 14 and verse 14 says, a backslider in his heart is filled with his own ways. A backslider in his heart, not outside, is filled with his own ways. Before a public backsliding takes place, there is always a heart that is wandered off. I look at some people and inside, boom, it's become empty. The river of God is not there. And it's like starting a generator without any oil. It's finding hard to start. Hallelujah. But tonight, God will help us. Amen. And restore us. Amen. How many would love to have that? See, you know that you are not walking with God, you know, when you only like to speak about easy points of your faith. But when you hear the words like take up the cross and follow Jesus, it immediately shuts your mind off. Immediately your mind is tuned off. But if I were to stand here and say, oh, God's going to send a revival down this road and down this street into our houses, say, amen, amen. But if I say, oh, the Lord is asking you to take up your cross and follow after him, immediately your mind goes, phew. Give me something easy. You hear that? When you can't stand up, Paul spoke about Christian life being like a boxing match, like a marathon. He's speaking about perseverance, sticking on, sacrifice, surrender, all that. But what happens to us is we grow empty inside because all those seems hard words. This afternoon, I think it was in the morning or afternoon, I was sitting and I said, oh, it is so hard to pray. I did my usual prayer, but I said, you don't want to pray, do you? If you don't have a problem, do you want to pray? If everything is going well with you, do you want to pray? Would you want to pray? Come on, church, would you? Then please come and pray for me. The only thing that drives me on my knees is when I get pressured from all sides. See, the Bible reading, messages of the Word, from the Word, you're coming for a church service or a ministry like this, or even your personal prayer, all those are means to an end. They are not end in themselves. How many of you understand what I'm saying? You coming into a congregation like this to worship the Lord and spend in truth, you're reading the Bible, you're spending time in personal prayer, all that is not an end in itself. It is only a means to an end. But when it becomes an end in itself, remember, you are not walking with Jesus. It becomes ritualistic. You might be doing the right things, but it becomes ritualistic. Are you with me? Your heart is no longer inside it. But tonight we pray that Lord would once again ignite our hearts. Amen. You know it deep inside. So what happens is there's no fervor in prayer. You hear that? There's no real fire. You don't feel the fire of God inside of you. And that's why you want experience outside of you. That's why you want excitement. So there's nothing wrong with excitement. There are nothing wrong with experiences, all that. But you become an addict to that. You know why? Because you can't feed anything inside. You know, you need a restoration. You know when? There are two dangers. One is when you overlook your sin. Huh? When you overlook your mistakes, you know the fire goes out. Yes? Two, it's when you're so focused on yourself. And so focused on yourself and on your heart. That's what happens to people with a kind of toxic faith. Sanctification is by faith, by grace. But when you think you're spiritual, why? Because especially in these days of fasting and prayer, it's something to watch out for. You have done your introspection. To a certain level, it is good. But then it can become scrupulous or it can become something wrong. When you're so focused on yourself and on your heart, you know what happens? It's a sign that you're not trusting in the Lord. Are you still here? Amen. Hallelujah. When you're concerned only about the contents of a sermon, when the preacher is preaching, look to his style and the contents of the message. Without really getting into the word, it is a sign that your heart is moving away in its own direction. See, Ezekiel faced that in his life, in his ministry. Ezekiel 33 and verses 30 to 34. Are you all awake? Ezekiel 33, 30 to 34. I mean, we are dealing with some strongholds, and I pray the Holy Spirit will break it. Break it in your lives. Break it in my life. Amen. 33, 30 to 34. As for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and in the doors of the houses. And they speak to one another, and everyone saying to his brother, please come and hear the word of that comes from the Lord. So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words. But they do not do them, for with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own. Their hearts pursue their own. Their hearts pursue their own. In other words, they have already determined why they are going. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not do them. Are you with me? I mean, they just love to hear. I mean, in other words, they're treating the man of God like an entertainer. And they forget the word. And they like the sermon headlines. And they speak about the delivery style. Have you seen people like that? I hope you're not one of them. The delivery style of a message, the content. I mean, they're just looking to the outline and they forget the substance. See, you know your heart is not in the Lord and you're in your restoration when you are impatient of reproof. When you are rebuked, you get kind of irritated or you become oversensitive. Are you with me? You become oversensitive when you're corrected. And you cannot take it in. So what happens is immediately you begin to put the blame on someone else. Or you begin to have this idea to say, Pastor, hear that? It is a sign that your heart somewhere has lost that communication with God. Oh Lord, help us tonight. You will understand grace only after you hear the law. Only after I share the problem can I give you the diagnosis and tell you what the solution is. Amen. As what happens, I come and preach and go and you watch and you go and boom, 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 you go. When you go out, you're still empty. Why? See, in a daily seeking the face of God and repentance, even repenting daily, becomes a routine. It becomes a bore. It becomes a lethargy. It becomes, I have to do it. I remember some time back, one of the brothers here came and asked me, Pastor, if I pray at 12 in the night, have I prayed for 2 days? If I sit from 11:30 to 12:30, have I prayed for 2 days? രണ്ടു ദിവസം പേഴ്സൺ സാർ കഴിഞ്ഞു. See, when you are not walking with God, but you have all this religious stuff, you know what happens? The appetite for the sin of the flesh becomes stronger. The appetite for the sins of the flesh becomes stronger. And once you fall into it and give into it, it becomes a cycle of sin. Then it becomes like a stronghold. It's like a cycle. You're, in your heart somewhere deep down, you might say, oh, I want to walk in with you. But it's a cycle. It's a wretched cycle that you're trying to get out of. And pulling you down. The minute you think you've got up, boom, you're back on your face. Are you with me? How many of you know that you can have victory over that? It's in the Bible. If it is not in the Bible, we might as well pack up and go home. See, you will find you becoming more and more compromising to the world. Are you with me? If you look at your life, when you started your walk with God, there were certain things that you would call no, never. No matter what happens, I won't on that TV. Then you slowly on the TV, and then you say, I only watch something good. And then you only watch something good, and then you say, as long as it is not that dirty, it is okay. And when it becomes that dirty, can't compromise it. Then you get out of that to get into something else, much more worse. You hear that? Why? Because the spirit of compromise without you realizing has taken a hold over you. You hear that? It might be in anything. It might be in the way you dress. It might be in the way that you walk, the way that you talk. You know, I was looking at, you know, I get a lot of SMS on my cell phone. And most of the people whom I know very personally who are, you know, send SMS to me. And I was looking at the amount of SMS that was coming. That is, it's jokes, but it is things that actually, without you realizing, pull you down. That tries to, come against you. It might be a joke, but you might laugh it off. But I suddenly realized, I said, no, as a man of God, I should not send it to anyone else. So I make a conscious effort now, and it needs discipline for me. Not to send it, because some of them are very easy to laugh at, you know. But then I made sure that I won't send an SMS which devalues another person. No. If I give in to it, then I won't know where to draw the line. Hear that? And so what happens to these people who are compromisers inside is that before they know, they feel trapped. They feel caged. They don't know. And you know what is the most scariest part? The scariest part becomes after you've been born again and after you've come to redemption that is in the blood of Jesus. And after you have believed the word of God and believed Jesus Christ and come into a worship, a place where people worship and spend in truth, and after you start compromising and you feel that you're trapped and you come, the sermon goes over your head. There doesn't seem to be life. You don't seem to enjoy the congregation and the fellowship of the rest of the believers. It looks like you can't trust anyone. The more problem is that you can't even trust yourself. You begin to get hurt by everything that happens around you, become critical of every little thing that happens around you. And the fact that nothing is touching you from the word, what happens is you begin to despair. And without you realizing, fear begins to step in. And you say, oh my God, if I believed in the Bible, believed in Jesus, and went to a church like this, and I've gone into bondage, now how can I be free? I thought I was free, how can I be free? And that begins to sink into your heart a sense of hopelessness. You hear that? And that is more scary. Because you say, now where do I go? I can't go back to the church that I came in from. I can't go to the world. I can't go to a magician or to a black magic man or to people who believe in superstitious beliefs. No, I can't. So what happens is you begin to feel trapped, and there is only one way to elevate your pain or set you free from that pain. You begin to get into something that is addictive. Maybe you go back to that very thing that you came out of. Are you with me? No longer is there fullness in the presence of God, but you look for cheap entertainment. There was a time in your life when nothing mattered. It didn't matter whether you had good clothes. It didn't matter whether you had a mobile phone or not. It didn't matter whether you had a car. It didn't matter whether you had friends. It didn't matter whether you had anything in life. All that mattered to you was Jesus and His Word. But suddenly what's happened is that disillusionment is a feeling of trapped. And so you say, oh, I don't enjoy anything more. Where do I go? You try entertainment. You try everything that is sinful. But you are feeling guilty there. You are not at comfort there. Nor are you in the church. So what happens is there begins to come a restlessness. And what happens to most people at that fact is that they can never face up reality. They begin to go into a fantasy world. Are you with me? How many of you understand what I'm saying tonight? Even the worship becomes off reality worship. It becomes like a painkiller instead of the heart getting involved in it. See, the imagination that God has given you is a powerful tool. And what happens is, you know, if you look at your life, you'll find your imagination. You can listen to a conversation. It might be on the radio. And you know where your imagination is going. Are you with me? Without you realizing, your mind is painting pictures according to that conversation. You hear that? And most people who end up getting addicted to pornography is that their imagination, since they are not using it for good, it's trying to elevate that pain, and their imagination is going in the wrong way. They need something. And what happens is, when you begin to get into a trap like that, especially if you hear a message on demonology and demons and all that, then you will think, okay, maybe I have a demon. And you will begin to hallucinate. Your mind will begin to play games with you. Are you with me? How many of you understand what I'm saying tonight? I know I am speaking to someone because God is still making me say that. But what we need is to see the Lord Himself restoring us out of Zion, where you can have that walk with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Amen. The very means of grace becomes an end in itself. Are you with me? That's what I said. Worship is a means of grace. Bible is a means of grace. Prayer, fellowship, all that is a means of grace. It's not an end in itself. So what happens is they come and they get blocked. Instead of it becoming a means of grace, it becomes an end. So that, what happens to most people? They come into a church, say, a congregation, it's an end. Now the final thing that comes into their mind is, okay, does the leader want me? Does the rest of the congregation want me? Do I serve the Lord here? That's all. When they're going for their personal prayer, that's it. They come out even feeling more drier than they were walked into the closet to pray. Why? They forgot that it's a means of grace. It becomes a ritual. It becomes a routine. And it becomes so dragging that it pulls you down. And without you realizing, that secret backsliding that you have in your heart becomes a public one. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You begin to get in that thought, it looks like the devil has won. Have you seen the thought that you're having in your life? About your own life? What is the feeling that you have? Well, it looks like the devil has won. You know you're a child of God. Looks like I've messed up and it's gone real bad. Boom. How many of you have thoughts like that? That's all. Wow. The rest of you are either lying or feeling embarrassed to raise your hand. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're going to look at that, how to move into our restoration. If you are there, don't worry. The reason that the Lord tells you this is because, see, what happens at this time is when you hear this kind of word or the law, the negative side of your brain begins to work. And if you get up and go from this place right now, you'll say, okay, this is all that I am. Instead of it being a liberating message, it becomes a, boom, a heavier one on you. That's why we need our hearts to be open, so that the reason that God sends a word is to see that people are free. Not to condemn them further, but to actually set them free. The reason God sometimes so specifically says things like this is because that He can allow you to know that He's still in charge and He sees your condition. And He's got a way out. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll just come to the first part of it tonight. When you look at the word in the book of Exodus 25, Exodus 29, and Exodus 30. You can look through it later. Exodus 25, Exodus 29, and Exodus 30. You will find from the word of the Lord that when the Lord asked the tabernacle to be built in the old covenant, there were three areas in which He met with them. In the tabernacle that was built, in the most holy of holies, there was the mercy seat, where my Bible says God used to commune to us from the mercy seat. It is in the holy of holies. Then just before you enter the holy of holies, there's the altar of incense, where, again, Exodus 30, it says, God would commune there. Are you with me? God would commune there. Exodus 30, when you read it very carefully, you find that word. God would speak at the altar of incense. And three, when you look at Exodus 29, about the altar of the burnt offerings, you will find my Bible saying that God used to speak even at the altar of the burnt offering. The three places in which God used to speak in the tabernacle, in the old covenant. One, where? The mercy seat. Two, altar of incense. And three, the altar of burnt offering. Are you still listening? This is helpful because I find such a heavy weight against me. I don't know whether it's in the spirit because it seems so real. I'm always prepared for that when I go in for a battle in the, you know, out there in a, you know, face the battle right in the heat of the battle somewhere in the front line, somewhere outside on a crusade. But not in the church that you're pastoring, you know. You don't stand there and say, oh my God, what is this here? Either God must be doing something mighty in your life and setting you really free inside. or which the devil is trying to press against me. Or you might be cooperating with the devil. Which is actually oppressing me. One of those. I hope the first one is right. The devil by himself, we can handle under the grace of God. Hallelujah. Church, are you here? Lift your hand and shout a praise to the Lord for a minute. Amen. Hallelujah. In Exodus 25, my Bible says that God would meet with his people at the mercy seat and commune with them. Amen. Amen. I said, if two are going to walk together, they have to agree. They have to agree on the starting point, and they have to agree on the finishing point, and they have to agree on the conversation that they're going to have, and their hearts being joined together amidst that travel. Amen. We're speaking about the place where God is saying, I'm going to begin my conversation with you. When the Lord gave the outline for the tabernacle, he started with the most holy of holies. Amen. See, the tabernacle was never built. The tabernacle was built for the Ark of the Covenant. Are you with me? Amen. It is not the Ark of the Covenant for the tabernacle. God built the tabernacle for the ark and not the other way around. Now keep that in mind, because we'll come to that later. So when God began to speak, he began to speak at the mercy seat. Amen. The mercy seat, where the blood of the lamb once a year the high priest would take and sprinkle it there, and that would speak for the entire nation, that the sins were covered and God would not see their sins anymore. Why? Because the blood was sprinkled there. And it is after the blood is sprinkled that God begins to communicate. You hear that? Amen. In the New Testament, we have the substance of that, where the Bible says that Jesus shed his blood on the cross. You know that, don't you? It's not a new knowledge, you know it. And where he sprinkled his blood, and his blood speaks for us. So the day you and me, we come to the foot of the cross, that's the starting point. Amen. If anybody is going to go to heaven, you're only going to go the way that I go. There's no other way. Amen. Come on, you don't believe that, do you? You believe that? See, there is no other way. The only way is through Jesus. Through the sacrifice that he did, through the blood that he was sprinkled. Amen. And so you begin your walk there. You come to the foot of the cross. You say, Lord, I know my sins are forgiven. I receive you into my heart. And you trust in the Lord. And God, who justifies the ungodly by faith, justifies you through his blood. And you know you've been born. Born from heaven. Born from above. A new birth has taken place inside of you. Amen. That's where you begin. Nowhere else. Amen. Come on. You can't be saved anywhere else. That's where God begins to speak with you. Are you with me? When you receive the Lord. And let me tell you this. So that's where you begin. And then the Lord allows you to go to the place of the burnt offering, where he will speak with you. Your salvation begins in your spirit when the blood of the Lord speaks there for you. Amen? And then you go to the... Are you listening? Then you go to the place of the burnt offering, which is typical of your consecration. That's the place where you consecrate your life unto the Lord. Please understand me well now. Are you with me? Jesus came into your heart when you received Him by faith. But that doesn't mean that you have consecrated your life completely to the Lord. Amen. You hear that? When Jesus came and when you trusted in Him, Romans chapter 3 and verse 25 says, He Himself is the atonement for our sins, His blood alone. Are you with me? When you trusted in Him, you have begotten new birth. You are a child of heaven. You started your walk. Amen. But that doesn't mean you are consecrated to Him. For you to be consecrated, you have to come from Romans 3 to Romans 12. In Romans 3, you are justified by the blood, but you come to Romans 12, where it says, by the mercies of God, I tell you, I beseech you, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Come on. Come on. See, what happens to most people is that they have not kept their appointment with God in Romans 12. They kept their appointment with God in Romans 3. They agreed with the law in Romans 3. And they got new birth. But they haven't come to the agreement in Romans 12. So what happens is an empty frustration creeps in. You hear that? You have not completely said, Lord, let me be an offering, a living sacrifice to you. In the scripture, it speaks about two living sacrifices. One being Isaac in the Old Testament, where he was placed on the altar. And since a ram was found instead of him to be killed, he came back. And so he became a living sacrifice. He had already submitted. Are you with me? The other is Jesus Christ. Ah, Holy Spirit, help us tonight. Hallelujah. You know why you get into a frustration? Because you have not come to Romans 12. What God does for you is at Romans 3. What you do for God is at Romans 12. Most people want only what God does for them. Are you with me? When you get stuck between Romans 3 and 12, there is a problem. You don't enjoy fellowship with God. Have you seen this in your life? See, you know, I've got something beautiful written down here. Please hear me well. All sinners are not bad. Are you with me? Please hear me. All sinners are not bad. And not all Christians are good. Do you agree to that? If you can understand this, please understand it. All sinners are not bad. And not all Christians are good. The problem is, all sinners are dead. Are you with me? And Christians are alive. Now you understand what I'm saying? It's not a question of morality. It's not a question of whether that person is good or whether that person is bad. So you're going to walk with the Lord. You're going to enjoy your conversation. It's not a question of whether that person is good. That, why most people get into a compromise is, You know why? There's a difference. They are dead. They might be good, but they're dead. When you trusted Christ, you got life. That doesn't mean you're perfect. That doesn't mean you're good. Are you with me? At Romans 3, you got life. But that life begins to manifest through you and flow to others when you begin to consecrate at Romans 12. Hallelujah. Amen. meditate on this tonight. And we'll get back to the message tomorrow. I just feel so heavy in my chest, I don't know why. Let's pray and let's ask the Lord to keep His hand upon each one of us and deliver. Amen. Somebody get this morning, just get on the keyboard. Just close your eyes and pray.
Consecrate your heart and your life to Him and say, Lord, I will bless Thee, O Lord. Yes, my Jesus. With a heart of thanksgiving. Oh, Lord, my God, I will bless Thee, O Lord. I will serve Thee, O Lord. Everyone, everywhere tonight in worship. Oh my God, with a heart of my Lord and my God. I will serve Thee one more time. I will serve Thee. We worship You, Father. I will serve Thee, my Lord. I will love thee, my Lord. I will love thee. To you, Jesus,
I will love thee, O Lord.
I will love thee one more time. Lift your voice and say,
I will love thee, O Lord.
Your hands as we commit our lives tonight. We just pray, Lord, that once again you will allow us to experience your grace where our hearts can come to you. Lord, it doesn't end in worship. Worship has to come into your presence. It has to be looking to your face. It's just not a message, Lord. It has to be your heart, Lord. It is just not a prayer, but it has to be, Lord, looking to you. Tonight, Lord Father, we just pray that your right hand would reach down to each one of us. Release us deep within us, Lord. Yes, Lord, hallelujah. We thank you, O God, that your word declares you came to set the captives free, to heal the brokenhearted. Tonight, Lord, we pray the same Jesus who opened the captives and set the captives free and opened the prison doors might move in this place, might, hallelujah, move into our lives and release your people from every kind of captivity they are in. Tonight, Father, I thank you. It's got to be might, not by might, no, by power, but by thy spirit. Hallelujah. Let the power of your resurrection in the evening end of Shivadangalame, Arangawan, Kittil Arikiwan, Pirimiri Shakti and the Bendanangal, Pirimiri Shakti and the Bendanangal, Arinu Maruan, Yeshuvinte Namathil, Kittil Ariyatte, Yeshuvinte Namathil, Yeshuvinte Namathil Ariyatte, Hallelujah, Uta Jalandara, Ragatamanasia, Porovottu Pidichu, Manasine Nirashapeduthi Vechirikkunna Bendanangal, Yeshuvinte Namathil Ariyatte. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, prepare me.
to be your sanctuary.
Pure and holy, tried and true.
Church, the Lord is just showing me that, you know, if you're really wanting to see the hand of the Lord come upon us, there has to be a kind of yieldedness that comes in our hearts. And the Lord is showing the pride, just a religious pride. And just humble ourselves before the Lord and sing it tonight. Just ask the Lord to
you know, just have mercy upon you and just to humble yourself before the Lord tonight. Tonight, these are days of fasting and prayer where we repent and we just come to the Lord with our hearts. If you want to kneel down, you can kneel down. But let me just ask you to just humble yourself. It's not from your head. There needs to be a bondage that is broken over your life. And that is going to come. And then only you'll be able to worship it from your heart. And that is why it is important that you humble yourself before the Lord. Close your eyes. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. And sing it from your heart as a song and as a prayer. Spirit. Father. In your temple,
in my life,
Spirit,
I am calling, Spirit, I am
Hallelujah, Spirit.
Seek you with all of our hearts and souls, O Lord. church.
We're asking pardon for the times that we have moved away from you, Lord. And today we make a fresh covenant to seek you once again with all of our hearts and souls, O Lord. Oh yes, our fasting is a sign of that once again we need your touch, Lord. Once again we need it to move in our hearts and lives, O Lord Jesus. Oh, we don't want to go back from this place the same way that we walked in today, Lord. Oh, we want to go back as a people have been humbled, oh yes. Oh, humbled by you, Lord Jesus. Oh, moving in humility before you, Lord. Moving in reverence and awe of you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I pray that right now you put forth your spirit of the fear of the Lord upon us, oh Lord. That we shall always walk in reverence and awe of you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Lord Jesus, we don't want to go back same the way we walked in, Lord. Oh, yes, we want to go back changed by your touch. Oh, by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, let the fire of the Holy Spirit fall upon us right now. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, the floods, the floods, the floods. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, the river of God, the river of God to move in this place. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. The waters that it will change our lives. Oh, hallelujah. The healing waters. Oh, hallelujah. You speak both in Ezekiel. Oh, hallelujah. The healing waters. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, that renews and restores. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. That heals every life in this place. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. That makes whole every broken heart. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. For those healing waters that you will heal every broken heart. Oh, hallelujah. Every hurting heart, oh hallelujah.
Yes,
thank you, Jesus, oh hallelujah.
Yes,
oh yes, that you satisfy the thirsty. Oh hallelujah, that you satisfy the longing of our heart. Oh hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, oh hallelujah. That we shall go out from here filled with your gladness. Oh hallelujah. Filled with the joy that only you can give us. Oh hallelujah. Oh hallelujah. Oh yes, to move always in your presence, Lord. Oh yes, oh hallelujah. Your word says, what is it that makes us different from those nations around us? Is it not your presence, Lord? Oh, may your presence always go with us. Oh hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh,
thank you, Jesus. 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 Uthajarantana de la manas. Uthala jarantana la gahachuta. Uthalancharantara katamana sambacha. Uthajarantana la viraga la vajarantanis. Rakazala charati vinakasya. Ushalaka charatuna achisuda makatarajina. Rahasala charatuna. Tura charantara hatamanasi. Sakara juratana hatamanasi. Uta charantara hatamana sambaja. Oh, hallelujah. I just feel in my spirit that there's certain bondages that the Lord is breaking tonight in this place. The very bondages that was trying to cripple and keep you away from the very plans of God. And I feel that the grace of God can only function in your hearts if you just humble yourself. There are so many standing here in this place with spiritual pride. Just need to humble yourself before the Lord. Mighty hand. Just humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. From your head, the worship has to move to your heart. From experience, it has to become into the presence of the Lord Himself. Just need to look to the Lord and just humble yourself before the hand of the Lord tonight. And say, open your mouth and say, Lord, I'm sorry tonight. Tell Him, Lord, I'm sorry.
I just repent, Lord, of my pride. I just ask you to, Lord, hallelujah, just help me to find my way back to you from my heart. Just say it. Some of you have just been looking for that experiences. Let me tell you, church, we are in a fasting and prayer. Just time of repentance. It's time of prayer and seeking the face of God, humbling our souls in prayer. Just do it tonight. Just do it tonight. Open your mouth and do it tonight. Don't just keep your eyes closed and just stand there. Just open your mouth. Just pray for your own soul and say, Lord, I humble myself. And say and pray from your own heart tonight. Come on, open your mouth. I want to hear you pray. Let that curse be broken. Let that bondage be broken. That it can only happen forth when you open your mouth and pray. I'm going to just give you time to pray. I'm just going to give you time to pray. Just give you time to pray tonight. Pray, money, pray, pray. Just give you time to pray. Yeah, there's sometimes when that Spirit of God begins to move, that hardness needs to be broken, and there's a humility that comes in, there are tears that comes in. You need to weep before the presence of the Lord and ask Him forgiveness. Let that hardness be broken tonight. കരഞ്ഞു പ്രാർത്ഥിക്കുക, ഹൃദയം ഏൽപ്പിച്ചു കൊടുത്ത് പ്രാർത്ഥിക്കുക. You can groan in the spirit, you can pray in the spirit, you can pray with understanding, you can pray with scripture, but you need to pray. This is fasting and prayer. If you are a backslider and God's word has been speaking to you and telling you that your heart is far away, ask Him forgiveness. Ask Him to restore you. Ask Him to break that habit in your life. Ask Him to break that bondage in your life. Let the Lord melt your heart, break your heart. Don't look to anyone else. It's time to pray. Come on, church. If you sow in tears, you shall reap with joy. But joy doesn't come out like that. You need to put your heart down and melt before the Lord's presence. Ask the Heavenly Father to restore. If my people who are called by my name, 2 Chronicles 7 says, will humble themselves, turn from their wickedness and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin and heal their land. Oh, hallelujah. Tonight is a night to just seek the Lord. Turn from your sin. We are not praying for material prosperity. We are not praying for anything else. We're just praying for spiritual restoration. Lord, When you seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, everything else will be added unto you. But church, you need to pray tonight. Father, I ask you, oh Rabakala Masija, Arakasina Jaha Kamalasi Jukara Kachilasia. Pray, pray, pray. Take time to pray. Take time to pray.
Chalantaranasya. Utalancharadalahatamanasya. Thank you.
as we sit in the presence of the Lord, just consecrate your entire life to the Lord. There are so many things that the Lord is asking people to give up here, to see the fire of God come back, to offer your life as a sacrifice before Him. Submit your will and just say, Lord, I give myself to you. Consecrate yourself to the Lord. Some of you maybe must have come just to hear a word of encouragement, or maybe just sing and praise the Lord for some time and just dance and go back. But we have to just follow the Spirit. If He's leading us into repentance and leading us to a change of time, we just need to do that. He's giving us this chance and opportunity to just consecrate our lives to the Lord. Maybe you have come to hear something interesting, but no. Just offer your hearts to the Lord. That which He's asking you to give up, just give up. Just take the decision and give, consecrate to the Lord.
To Jesus I surrender, all to Him I free. I will ever,
yes, Lord,
in His presence daily. I surrender, oh, I surrender, oh, all to Thee, my blessed Savior.
One more time, sing it from your heart now.
All to Jesus
I surrender,
humbly at His feet I bow, worldly precious take me, Jesus. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior.
I surrender
all to Jesus.
All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power, let Thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior.
I surrender.
One more time, I surrender all.
I surrender,
Lord my God, I surrender all.
I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior.
One more time from your heart, I surrender.
I surrender.
Submit yourself completely to Jesus and say,
I surrender.
Jesus, bless us, Savior.
Tonight, Father, I just pray for each one of our lives tonight as we just surrender and submit ourselves to you. Lord, I just pray that you would help everyone who is just, Lord, wanting to give up certain habits in their lives and certain, Lord, patterns of sin that's been happening in their lives. Father, we just pray as a church for everyone, Lord, who might be struggling with one habit or the other, who would like to see, Lord, your hand come upon them. Father, we thank you there is nothing impossible with you. Even tonight as we seek your face and, Lord, as we are fasting and praying before you, we just pray, Lord Jesus, that you would reach out to each one of them and loose your people from the clutches of the enemy, that they could be set free, Father. I just pray, Lord, for everyone in this place, Lord, who is restless, Lord, who is not, Lord, deep inside at peace with you. I just pray that your hand would reach down to them and set them free. Lord, if there are anybody here struggling with religious pride that is keeping them from a blessing, tonight, Father, I just pray, Lord, that you will lose your grace upon them, that they can humble themselves before your mighty hand and to allow, Lord, your grace to function upon their lives. Father, we just make it a prayer tonight. Come on, church, pray. Pray from your heart tonight. There are bondages that needs to break. Raja Alhamdana. Thank you, Jesus. In your hands, Lord, I just commit each one of our lives, this congregation as a whole, I just commit into your hands. Your word declares you yourself will build your church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In your hands they come into your church right now. I pray that you will build each one of their lives, strengthen them. Lord, I pray that your hand would reach down deep within them and release them, Lord. And Lord, let your people go forth in the freedom of your liberty of thy spirit. Your word declares, he whom the Son of God sets free is free indeed. May people experience genuine, Lord, a release from their lives. I just pray that your hand would be upon each one of them. Your hands, I commit each one of our lives and each one of them, as I commit them into your hands, I just pray that your right hand would bless them. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Tomorrow morning we meet here at 6 o'clock in the morning. 6 in the morning to pray for an hour, just to pray. Are you with me? We're just dealing with the strongholds of pride, self-centeredness, and like I said, the backsliding, the emptiness that is inside, just that to be set free from. And so we meet together at 6 in the morning to pray for an hour. I wanted to make it 5, but then since there's a family staying here, I just wanted to give them an hour more. 6 o'clock we meet at in the morning, just to pray, not to hear a message. This is a fasting and prayer. Are you with me? What's happened in this church and what happens in most of the churches, people look for excitement and something good to happen and something nice to feel about, and that's all they come for, just to get encouraged all the time. There is encouragement in the Lord, but that's at the right time. What is sown in tears will be reaped into joy. And you can't have joy without a sowing in tears. If you're going to see the harvest of God coming into your life, you have to allow the Lord to break you deep inside. And God was showing me just spiritual pride, just pride, religious pride. And that needs to be broken. And we just need to come together in humility and seek the face of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And if it doesn't get broken tomorrow morning, we're going to pray in the evening also. And if it doesn't get broken tomorrow evening, we're going to pray Saturday morning and Saturday evening also, till it becomes broken. We're going to fast and pray. Amen. Hallelujah. So go in the peace of the Lord. May the kindness and the mercy of God be with you. I'll see you tomorrow morning at 6 to pray. Amen. God bless you. Keep silent as you go. Amen. Spend time with the Lord. Amen. Some of you need to make sure that you know, this being a full gospel church, I mean, you don't expect people to understand that you need to give up sin. If you're holding on to the world and to sin, you have to give one up. Are you with me? So only if you mean business with God and you're willing to give up those things, then come. But if you want to serve the devil in between and serve God in between, then don't come. Are you with me? But if you want to just give up everything that is standing in between you and the Lord and just give up everything completely and dedicate your life to the Lord, then come. And don't come if you don't pray by yourself. Pray by yourself. Now I think I'm speaking to believers who are committed here continuously. Yes. And this is the word that God has given me. To just correct, rebuke, just get out of sensationalism from this church and get people to heart worship. Amen. Hallelujah. So go in the peace of the Lord. I'll see you tomorrow morning at 6. 6 to 7, 1 hour, pray. That's all. Then we go back. Amen. God bless you.